God, because we know it was grace that tenderized, that has given us a gift to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. What a gift. Believe still today, though love's, you've seen cancer be gone, and you know, I love, you know, the love in my lifetime, I'd like to see somebody get raised from the dead. That'd be kind of cool. But although the greatest miracle, I believe, is a tender heart towards God. That's the greatest, that is the greatest, most single miracle that I know of on planet Earth. I know that is an act of God. You do not get up in the morning saying, I want Jesus, unless he touches your heart the night before. He has to be in your life, touching your heart, tenderizing those hard places, because we're made to be tender towards him. We are made for that. That is who we are. We are the children of God. And that's something we talk about often as a family with my kids. We just say, stay tender towards him. Stay tender towards one another. There are times when they don't like each other. They get at each other, just like we all do. But we have them look at one another to say, what are you doing? Do you actually want to hurt that other person? And there's tears in their eyes. I'm like, okay, Lord, they're still tender. Thank you, Jesus. May they be tender. So many of us grew up in homes, and so many of us grew up in life, and our hearts became more hard because the hearts grew colder and colder because of the lack of love, the lack of environment, the environments at work, the environments at school. We've gotten hurt in those places, and may God deliver. I believe that he wants to bring deliverance. And can I just give you one picture? Even now, I felt like I got, in the last couple of days, is a prophetic picture. Is I felt like all of us, and then we can get in to the message, turn the lights on. So you're at the edge, and it is so vivid. You know, sometimes in your mind's eye, man, it's so real. And so he took me back to the book of Exodus, and I feel like this is for everybody in the room. And I believe that we need to contend for this. So those prophetic people, those intercessors, please just contend throughout the service. But I believe he's going to do something. You know, I'm a breakthrough person. We are called to be a breakthrough people. You know, I've talked to the simple prayer of like breakthrough. You know, if I'm hearing a prayer request, I'm like, God, breakthrough, because that's what we need. We need breakthrough in that. God, I don't feel like I have love for people. Breakthrough, so I have love. God, I don't feel like I can do it. I have fear in my heart. Breakthrough, so that I am fearless. You see what I'm saying? This is a year of breakthrough. It's breakthrough. And just by saying that in faith, he is going to do that, because he desires that we don't live in fear. He desires that we go. He desires that we love, desires that we live in joy and peace and et cetera. So anyways, I got this picture, and we're at the edge of, you know, we're in bondage in Egypt, and we're at the edge of the Red Sea, and we're standing right there, you can almost hear the rumble of the Egyptians coming. For many of us, we're like, oh no, we're going back into bondage. We've gotten this far. God's gotten us this far. He's gotten us to this place in life. And I can sort of hear the rumblings. And God is saying, don't turn around. Do not turn around. Do not hear the voices. There's complaining amongst the people of God, and complaining, oh, I thought I was free. I thought this happened. And it keep going. And then all of a sudden, as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on him, the waves begin to wake, and you can feel the mist on your face. It was so real as a picture. I almost could feel the mist on my face. It was like, he's coming through. He's breaking through. And I really believe what God is saying. And then all of a sudden, the thing just starts to, you know, starts to open up. And you know, we're like, he's doing it. He's delivering us so that we can get into this land. And that's what God's doing. He's wanting us to have that faith to break through. But when we turn around and look at the enemy and hear that voice, we begin to cower in fear. We begin to tremble. We begin to get weak and say, maybe we'll just lay captive again towards the enemy. We'll give in again, or we'll give in to the voices and complaining, the people around us. And what I felt like even specifically is that if you're a leader in this room, you're a leader in anything, in any capacity, life group or on staff, I really believe that God is asking, just like Moses, to intercession. This is a time where the shepherds need to rise up in the house. of the Lord. And they need to rise up and they need to lift that staff up and so that there's intercession, so that the people of God can become tender again and have faith that God is good. He wants to deliver. Believe him for deliverance today. I mean, that's why we come to church. That's why we, at least that's why I come. I don't come to preach. I come to get delivered. I come to get more of Jesus. That is the word of the Lord in 2019. If you missed it last week, it's more of Jesus. Simple. More of him. When we get more of him, there's more deliverance. When we get more of him, there's more joy. There's more peace, more unified family. Somebody reminded me the other day, they said, look, John, I love 2017 so much because it was simple. It's faith for more and empowered by unity. I'm not sure if many people will come back and say, I love 2018, the year of surrender. That's not the word, right? But I do look back at 2017 and I absolutely love that year because there was such an emphasis on unity. And I felt like our body really did unify us. And so that's not going away. I really do believe that God wants, but the byproduct of living next to the vine or connected to the vine is a unified body. The byproduct of a John 15 lifestyle is we ask anything in his name, it'll be done for us. The byproduct is that our joy will be complete. Our byproduct is we know we're friends, not servants. That is the byproduct. And so God is calling us, the other day I was reading Malachi 4:6, and one of the things that it was just a simple phrase, right? It says, this is what revival looks like when the hearts of the fathers are turned towards the children and the children are turned towards the father. That's revival. You wonder what revival is? Not crazy ladies with flags. Revival is not crazy, and I mean, just for the sake of crazy, revival is my heart was grown cold towards the fathers. My heart was growing cold towards the Lord. My heart was growing cold towards the things of God, but then it melted in his presence. And now I'm good. I'm with the Lord. There's fellowship. There's true fellowship. Church, do you know what true fellowship looks like? Do you? Have you tasted and seen that God is really that good? Because as I was thinking, it's hard for me to understand this, but I didn't become a Christian because of any fad. I became a Christian because I'd recognized my need. There was a recognition of my need for salvation. So I entered into the kingdom that way. There was no upper room. There was no YouTube. There was no any of that. It was 18 years ago. It wasn't cool. It wasn't a cool thing to become a Christian as it is kind of today in this subculture. There was nothing cool about it. There was nothing cool about my big Bible and my hardcover Bible and sitting there with a highlighter that looked like a triangle. It had red and green and yellow, and I just made my Bible look like a rainbow. It just, I just scoured the word. I loved it. I loved the word of God. I just was so a part of who I was. I wasn't interested in the fads. It was just like, I'm hungry. I ended up going to all girls Bible study in college, not knowing that I was going there for 4 weeks because I was so hungry. I was just asking. They said, hey, look, this is an all girls Bible study. You probably don't want to be here very much. I'm fine with it. You're answering my questions. I love Jesus. You love Jesus. We're good. My motives are clean. I don't like any of you. And we're good. So, but there was a hunger that drove me close. Blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10, he says something like this. He cried out, Son of God, save me, come. His disciples were like, you're kind of weird. Would you be quiet? It's just awkward. This is not the time. Son of David, come. I need you. Stop. And then he says, look, Bartimaeus, come. What are you looking for? I want to see. Your faith has made you well. That's what God's calling us to again. He's calling us to hunger. He's calling us to radical obedience. Not for radical sake. Not for to be famous. I don't know if I'll ever be. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I want Jesus. I want more of him. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I get lost in the presence of God. A couple hours, 3 or 4 hours pass, and I'm enjoying his presence even more. Sometimes I forget, and the Lord has to remind me, invite them into. Invite invite the church into greater fellowship. It is good. We don't just talk about those things. We don't just talk about him being really satisfied. He actually really is. He really is satisfying. I find him to be that way, to be satisfying. And I want to just simply give that to my kids as a gift. I want to give it to you as a gift. And when I impart that, Paul said, I long to impart something to you. What is the impartation? It's always more of Jesus. Yeah. It might be a gift, but the gift unlocks something for somebody else so that they might taste and see. Right? The gift is never for you. The impartation is never for you. The being soberness is never for you. It's the purpose of prayer. Why? Because when we pray, something happens. Change is not for ourselves, but for the nations. It changes for somebody else. There's something in me that's got to change so that they have. It is an impartation. It's an invitation. That's what God is calling us to this morning. He's sweet. His presence is good. His holiness is an invitation to joy. Right? His holiness is not a... I don't look at his holiness as a hand in my face unless I've crossed the line. I mean, because he might say, that's not what you want. Okay, I know, I understand. His discipline is good. If you don't feel it, you might not be his. The discipline of the Lord... And let me say it this way. Every invitation and I am a visionary. God said, don't just father a vision, father a people. And sometimes I want to go vision, let's go, because I've tasted and seen that he is good. It is not a duty. It is not one bit of duty to go on an airplane, to cross the ocean, to meet with people who don't know him. It is not at all. I hope you know that. But sometimes my heart is fearful at times and seasons where I wonder if it's a duty for us. Because every time we go somewhere, he's inviting us to something more, but he brings a correction along with it so that we're prepared for the more. Yeah. He's correcting us now. He's correcting us now as a people so that we get in alignment. It's like we're walking like this with like a broken leg. And he's like, come here. Is the great physician locks it back in place. And sometimes it's a jolt. Sometimes it's like you got to just put it back into place. You got to replace it. And that once it's replaced, we're aligned again and we can walk right with him. In other words, God's calling us to be light in this season. He's calling us to be light, but we can't be light unless we walk with the light and in the light. He's calling us to more intimacy, but he's calling us to greater holiness. Some of you holiness guys are like, yes, amen. Now is the time. I like the challenge. I do too. Because it makes me better, makes me more like him. There's the invitation in John 1. The invitation is to come and see. But sometimes I felt like, you know, there's, you know, Jesus, when we meet him in the coming and seeing, quickly I want more. I've saw enough that, wow, you're better than the world. I'm ready to follow you. Sometimes I think maybe, I've heard church strategists kind of, you know, categorize the come and see, come and follow me, come and die. And, you know, that takes years and all this stuff. It doesn't take years. When you meet the living God, you quickly go from come and see, I'm ready, yeah. I'm in. Took Mary probably about a year and a half, 2 years. Because there was a point where she was meeting at the feet of Jesus so much. And Martha, the voices, and we're meeting at the feet of Jesus. And I would imagine that revelation that came to me years ago when I was, you know, about, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago. I remember that revelation. I was like, wait a second, hold on, because they're in two different books. There's a correlation between meeting at the feet of Jesus and then breaking your bank at the feet of Jesus. And it doesn't have to be years, because in those years where we're not with Jesus, our hearts become hard. We're like, okay, I want to come and see. Okay, there's grace for that. There is grace for that. But it's not a 30-year deal. It's a now. When we taste and see that Jesus is good, to me there is a, maybe I'm crazy, but there's a quickness to, I want to be a part of all that God has for me. When I see that he's good and he's trustworthy, he's full of peace, he is the embodiment of peace and truth and grace, and he has everything for me. If I'm unequipped, he equips. If I need something, he has it. all the answers are in the scriptures. And so I was spending my college years just reading through the scriptures, knowing who he was, and saying, my life has been changed, almost angry at everybody else around me for my first 18 years, saying, why didn't anybody else tell me this? If I would have known this earlier, I could have been even different. But I know that the grace of God, because I hold on to Psalm 90, and as I pray often and maybe even find encouragement, for the years of affliction, may God bring me back and restore all those years that I was afflicted, all those years that I was living in sin and being not so wise. May you pull that. Would you just bring it back to me? Would you renew it? Would you restore it as if it never even happened? Yeah. That's his grace. That's a prayer that I have. And I believe that promise is for everybody in the room. We don't look back. We're a people that don't look back. Unless God's wanting to bring something up, if it affects what someone said, if it affects your daily day to day, or affects your future, then you might want to pause and say, "Hey, God, what is going on in the past? What do you want to heal the past? What do you want to deliver the past, so that I can move in you? God, would you move through my eyes? Would you move through my mouth? Would you move through my mannerisms, my feet, my legs? Would you move through me so that they can see that you're good?" That is what we're asking for. And so what God has called us to is a John 15 lifestyle. He's called us to abide. It's nothing new, just are we doing it? You see, I love the simple truths. They're not offensive. They're not burdensome. It's an invitation. When I read the latter half of Paul's letters, when they get practical, I'm like, yes, I want to be hospitable, because I know in the first part what he did for me. There's always this place of, I know what he did. I know where I'm going. I love the heavenlies. Paul's talking about heaven all the time, talks about we're going to be judged one day. We're going to stand before Jesus. So, hey, look, this is how you want to live your life. This is the culture of the kingdom. We're invited into that, to walk in the light as he is in the light. And so, this vine, this word about a vine, every year I get this word from this guy in China, okay? So his name is John. I'm John. So we have this connection. And so I don't meet too many Johns. And so it's kind of cool when I meet one. And so anyways, this guy, he's a bold, fiery guy. He's going to come in February. And one of the things he's every time I've met him for the last 7 years, he's always given me a very timely word. And so when we're in Dubai, I just said, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I think I probably tell you this every year, but your words are always true. They're very simple, sweet. And so I just need another John word. Can you give me one? I mean, I'm desperate. And so he said this. He says, you know, in this season, I really do feel like, or this was a number of years ago, but he said that let me back up. Okay, so the first word that he gave me was just a simple word that you have authority. You're not like the podunk police, you know, that has to like wear the badge around, you know, and have to prove something, but you're like the undercover cop that has authority, but you don't have to prove it. That was a very timely word when we first started the church, because, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, and I was like, you just called me into this. I mean, what are you doing here? So he gave me that word. It was so encouraging. The next time he said, we felt like just such an upstream battle. I mean, we're believing for comrades. We're believing for God to move. And he said, look, this season, it's going to shift now. You're going to go downstream. There's going to be fruit. These are fruitful years and all that. Then this just last word that ties into what I'm talking about here in Dubai, he said that you guys are not, you were longing to be an oak tree, just a, you know, this oak tree, this majestic oak tree that kind of, you know, everybody kind of comes to, and it's majestic and it's nice to look at, it's strong and mighty. But he's like, you're more like a vine, because vines can get into places that oak trees can't. And that's how I feel like who we are, is we're connected to the vine, to Jesus. We become that vine, that movable vine, as it goes through the campus, and as it goes through the nations, as it goes through the city, as it makes its way through the little cracks and crannies of life, and just kind of gets in there and gives and brings life to dark places, to brings life to places where people feel hopeless. And, you know, I've wanted to be more of like a, I've had in mind like a military warship. I mean, that's just more how I think. I'm like, let's go get them. Come on. Like, what are we wasting our time for? Let's do it. But as God said over the years, he's like, you know, it's both. He wants to rehabilitate people who have been hurt and broken in the church so they become those warriors to be sent out. And so that's who he's called us to be. And so if you're feeling like, man, I'm not quite ready to hear the word, let's go. It's okay. It's fine. We might need to be healed, but I'm not going to allow you to stay there. Because I know how it works. When we begin to look inward too much, something begins to die inside, and it becomes all about us. And what I know about selfishness is that Jesus said not to deny the devil, pick up the cross and follow him. He said, deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow him into the places he's leading us to. There is a denial of self. So how do we go from come and see to come follow me? We're not thinking in terms of stages. It's not like this perfect, nice little box. There was a time and a season where God said, just check it out. Just see. I'm in. Follow me. And then he's often telling me to deny myself, to cut some things off in my life. I remember 10 years or maybe even more than that. You can help me out. But when Nicole and I were like, we're done with movies. We're done with TV. We don't have a TV in our house still today. We were done. I mean, I remember watching one of those. I mean, I love the Who Did It movies and kind of like the twists and turns at the end. It's how I bit all my nails. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, this brings stress. but it's exhilarating. And now I'm like, I have that same feeling that I did watching that movie as I'm going overseas, fighting the battles that actually matter. It's the same thing. I mean, that's why I don't want to give in to that kind of stuff, because I could actually live that life now. And the reason why sports is such exhilarating, all these, because we're living the false battle. The enemy can only counterfeit what is actually true. He can't make anything up himself. He's not creative. He's just a counterfeit. So everything we find in the world that we might find is even quote unquote good and distracting will actually keep us from the real battle and the real things. That is what God's calling us into again. And sometimes I forget, I have a terrible memory, but I forget that I've said no to some of these things that might actually be helpful for the church. But I've never wanted to be about me or just if you want to ask, ask. But I don't like to get into the practicals too much because I just want to lift up Jesus, because that's what helped me. It wasn't so much the practicals. The Holy Spirit led our life as a vine going to different places that end up here to be salt and light to this world. Is that helpful? I mean, you can come over to our house and ask Nicole. And, I mean, we're not perfect. I mean, we need the gospel as everybody else. But he's given us a way of life. We want to walk in the light. It's a joy to walk in the light. It's a joy because we become like him. The invitation to ultimately follow him is to become like him. That's what he's inviting us into, to become like him. And then when we are like him, we actually have something to give to the world. It's real simple. I mean, it really is. I love that it's simple because I'm a simple person. I don't like complicated anything. What complicates it is the God of this world. It says that God is not a God of what? Confusion. But he is a God of order. And when we get him in our life, he begins to order our lives. He orders them. It's not legalistic. It's not legalistic. There's nothing, I don't live, legalism is actually joyless. So if you're living, if you're doing a fast and you're joyless, it might not be your fast. If you're like, hey, I'm going to be like John, I want to get rid of the TV, and you feel joyless, he might have never asked you to do that. He is inviting us into, and when it's his plan, he takes care of the bill. He takes care of everything. And here's what I know that I've recently learned with this brain science thing. I love it. I just look at Carolyn Leaf. Woo. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. Talks real fast. Kind of have to wish I can get something where I can turn her down a little bit so I can get it. But I'm a biology major. My wife is. So I can kind of keep up with the crazy terms. But what I know, and this is the simple thing for me, is there's the 21-day cycle. And the 21-day cycle is really important. Because when you let go of something that's of this world for 21 days, something begins to change in your brain chemistry. And when I found that out, when we started doing Daniel fast and things began to break, like I still am, and I have to break it. Jesus made chocolate. He did. It's not the enemy. It's not the enemy. It's the Lord. Some will say Jesus made dark chocolate and the enemy counterfeited it and made milk chocolate, but I don't agree with that. I think he made milk chocolate because he made cows and they, so anyways, all, but just I'll just say this as an example, but when I began to Daniel fast, I grew up in a family that after every meal, we always had to have dessert. Yes. Italian. German. So we always had that kind of a household. I mean, when we went up to Chicago, I'm like the little kid. I mean, it's amazing how your brain works. What's the first thing that I do other than saying hi to my parents? I go in their little spot and I see if there's chocolate in it. That's what I do. I've done it for years. And it's almost like my mom knows that I will be present. So I just take. And so if my mom's listening, thank you. So, but during the 21-day cycle, something began to break where I don't crave it. I enjoy it, but it is not an obsession. It's an enjoyment. And that's what happens in the 21 days. Now, if you do two cycles, 42, and then you do 63, it's out of sight, out of mind. Some of us need to do that with Facebook. Some of us need to do that with Instagram and all this thing because it's an obsession with self. It's an obsession. And we're being invited into something greater. And I know you all want greater, but there needs to be, all of us want a lifestyle like this. We all want this, but this is where we're at. And the gap between this and this is called discipline. And we need that discipline. We have to have discipline of the Lord. We got to have it. And it is a good thing. In other words, God is giving us favor when he disciplines because I hear your heart for more. I'm hearing your heart for more. And so I have to bring you into this place of discipline. I have to bring you into this place where I'm inviting you in to the quiet place at a deeper level so we can enjoy it. We are called to be sober-minded in this hour. Sober-minded for the what? Purpose of prayer. And what I notice that is foods and distractions and the media, I don't give a rip what Fox News says because I haven't heard it in a while. Are you there? Are you really there? Honestly, are you obsessed with news? Do you feel like you have to know? Did you believe buying the lie that I can't actually be a good pastor? I can't actually be I can't help people without knowing the news. It's a lie. I know there's a government shutdown. But I know that the kingdom of heaven hasn't shut down. It's Jesus. He's here. He's with us and he's satisfying, whether the government's shut down or not. If this whole nation turned communism, I'm still following Jesus. Because he's called us. We are here to transform cities and nations, but we got to stay away from the junk so that we can actually offer something good. We can actually offer something of value. It's not mixture, it's pure. And if we're not pure, set apart, holy, righteous in his eyes and what he says we are, we'll never be able to offer it because we're so mixed, we're so like them instead of so like him. He's calling us into more of Jesus this year to be salt and light, to add flavor. It says it like this, that if we lose our saltiness, it's good for nothing to trample it out. That's us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, but he doesn't have to use us. He does not have to use us, but he'll never leave us. And the promise of never leaving us allows us to let go so we can be used by him. It's the power, it's the grace of God. He's broadening the shoulders for the grace of God. I got in a word, he said, Jimmy Seibert prayed over, he said, you're growing in grace and your shoulders are broadening and I'm stamping grace on. Your church needs more grace. It's the grace of God that leads us to repentance. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. Anytime I get an upgrade in God, sometimes by the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's the enemy, but sometimes it's the Holy Spirit saying, do you remember when? I'm not like that anymore, Lord. I know, because I've changed you. It's my grace, not your performance. He's inviting us into more of him. As we have the band come up, I just want to give you guys, I promised something last week that if whatever I didn't get to, I'll finish next week, and then I'm going to be a man of my promise there. So I want to just say a couple things. I want to give you guys something practical for the morning tomorrow, if you need it, if this would be helpful. Many people need practicals, and so I want to offer that. So I was getting up in the morning, and I wrote, I've written this in my Bible, my kids' Bibles, and I just said, here's a help. Here's a way to engage with Jesus. It's just simple. It's something like this, that I felt like the Lord was saying, invite them into the quiet place. Matthew 6:6. Inviting people into what can be. So the first thing we do is thank God. I think you have it up here, right? Thank God for everything. We got to start. It's what we said last week. It's keys. Literally, when we thank God, he's literally saying, here are the keys to my throne room. Take them. If we start off with, I want this, God, this is not happening. Oh man, I'm worried about my day. I guarantee you won't have a good time with the Lord. It's thankfulness. The Psalms are chock full of amazing, amazing passages over and over again. Sometimes we miss them because we want the meat. That is the meat, or at least it's the access to it. And so he's opening. When we open up the door, there are keys to open up the gates of thanksgiving so that we can enter in. That's how we enter in. It's just like as if my bathroom is down to its studs now, and it's just. It's my new place of quiet time. No one uses it now. So I'm opening up till the Lord gives us some money for it. But I open up the door and it's like as soon as I open up the door, I'm entering into his presence with thanksgiving. I'm opening up the door and I'm saying, thank you for everything. Thank you for this bathroom. Thank you for this room. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. I'm just thankful for the little things sometimes. That's what gets me going. Actually, if you notice what I'm saying, it gets me going. That's what thankfulness does. It just gets you going. It gets you revved up. It's like, this is just going to get better from here. Yeah. So it's going to get better. So then I enter in and I'm realizing, wow, thank you for this. And then I realize that the backdrop of thankfulness, of grace, there's sin. And there's sin in my heart. There's just places from the night before. God, would you thank you that your mercies are new every morning. It's a new day. So now I get to enter in. I just get to say, God, are there some things that are hindering my heart? Is there some stuff I'm believing? Is there some lies I got to just confess and get out? And just, it's me and him, nobody else. It's just me and him. And he reveals some stuff. All right, Lord, I don't want that anymore. I don't want that in my heart. And then I receive his forgiveness. I preach the gospel to myself every day for 18 years. It's a long time, but I'm sure of it. Are you sure of it? Are you sure of the gospel that can it touch you, or is there a lot of barriers that in between? And so the walls are coming down, and so I'm receiving his mercy, his love, his grace, and then I begin to just read the word. It's so good. I'm all over the place in this season. Sometimes I'm like, but I'm like reading Ephesians. I read the whole book on my knees, just the whole book. It was so good. It was so rich. Just started off with Paul just saying, you can know his wisdom and revelation. I've been praying that for 18 years. Wisdom, God, wisdom and revelation, wisdom and revelation. I want to know you. And then it says later on, it's like we're saved by grace, not by our works. He loves us. We can never earn it. Thank you, Lord, I can't earn it. Thank you that like I can't earn it. That person can't earn it. I mean, we're all on the same playing field receiving the same grace. Thank you for that. And then you get into Ephesians 3, just talking about how deep, how wide, the depth of his love. It's so good. His love is so good that it actually says this phrase that we, I think God's entering into a new season. I'm entering a new season with the Lord where I don't even have words to describe that love, because Paul says you actually don't have words. You can never have words to describe that love. Is it hard for you to explain God to somebody? I think the more you know, it's harder to explain. Think about that. Think how many religious people just pop, 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 pop. Oh, and I have no idea what you're talking about, because I don't think you experience the Lord. I think you just know him up here. I don't think you know him here. You don't know him here. Because what my Bible says in Ephesians, that Paul says it like this, that it would be surpassing your knowledge, words. You can't describe the love of God. And I'm like, I understand. God, give me words and wisdom. That's why I go back to Ephesians 1:17. I'm like, give me words, wisdom. I need wisdom to actually talk because I want to be helpful. And then he says in Ephesians 4, he talks about the unity of the body. He talks about the body of Christ. He talks about unity. He talks about we're giving gifts. Whoa, man, we get to be a part of this. This is amazing. To build up the body, to see nations transformed, this is incredible. Ephesians 5, an invitation to walk in the light, that your deeds are exposed. Their deeds of the world are exposed by your actions. When's the last time you exposed someone's deeds in your workplace, in the campus, by your actions? Not your words. It actually says don't talk about those things. Just be light. And all of a sudden there's exposure because you're a walking lamppost shedding light on darkness all around. And the people notice that. People see that. They don't know what to do with it. I asked this woman at the store. I just said, hey, I had a honeydew list the other day. And you know the honeydew, man? You know what I'm talking about? Just honeydew, 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 honeydew. I had like 10 things on my list. I just had to go around. I just served my wife all day long. Okay, it was great. It was pleasureful. I was me and the Lord. And when I went in, I just said, hey, I want to be a blessing to somebody. I just pray for somebody. I said, hey, how can I pray for you? And she's like, nobody was in the store. I opened the store virtually. And so I said, hey, how can I pray for you? She said, I don't know. Good life, I guess. She didn't know how to answer that. She said, next. I was like, there's no one behind you. But anyways, I left and I was leaving. I was like, Lord, get her in the name of Jesus. And as I was leading, I didn't say that. I said that outside. And as I turned, I'm like, oh, there's probably someone behind me. And there was. And she's just smoking. She's like, you're a freak. And so I'm like, Lord, get her and bless her, God, in the name of Jesus. Because I really do believe sometimes, I really do believe that we will see those prayers answered. Who knows? I might see her in heaven one day. I don't know. I mean, it just, I believe that. I have to have that faith. I have to have that faith to believe that my prayers are actually effective. Because it says the prayers of a righteous one are effective. Prayed it 7 times, no rain. 8th time, there was a cloud the size of a fist. It's hope. We live that way. Do we live that way? Ephesians 5, case in point, love your wife, cherish her, pray for her, bless her, care for her. Cleanser by just speaking life, by praying. It's a beautiful thing. It's an invitation. Don't exasperate your kids. Ephesians 6. Don't exasperate them. I believe there's many fathers and mothers exasperated because they didn't live it out. And now you're finding out who's my model. Fathers, rise up. Mothers, rise up in the room so that we no longer exasperate our kids because they need to see the real thing. And later on, it says in Ephesians 6, you know that passage that says, put on the armor of God, put on the armor, put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the spirit of truth, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, and the shoes of readiness to share the gospel of peace. And it says, pray. Pray in the what? Not the flesh, the spirit. For all you left-brainers, praying in the spirit is a right-brained activity. It's a beautiful gift that God gave us to pray in the spirit, because we don't know, Romans 8, we don't know what to pray for. And so we pray in warfare times. We pray just in the spirit and it fills us up. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's an invitation. It's not a charismatic. Oh boy, this charismatic church. I don't care what you label us. The Bible says pray in the spirit. We're praying in the spirit. That's all it says. I mean, I don't do the label deal. Okay. Not here. We are praying in the spirit because that is a gift to us to actually get us to a place where we could get more in God and we could be empowered for ministry. You need it. I'm solid on the word, no doubt. But man, I need more. I need the spirit of the word. I need to experience it and know it deep inside. And then, not only do we read the word, we pray and ask. Oh, by the way, if you want to learn how to pray for me, pray this, that Paul said it like this after he said in the last part of Ephesians 6, he said, pray for boldness, that I would speak the utterances of God, because I believe in this is a day and age that the enemy wants to silence the voice of God. And he does that through the word. That's why there's such an attack on the word of God. He first goes after the word of God, attacks the people of God so that the people who don't know God will not know. The enemy is doing an all-out attack on the word of God in our day. I'm not paying attention to the news. I don't know. And it's, all I know is I got to get more of God, because I want to mark this generation before they get marked by the beast. That's in the Bible. Do you know that there will be that day? Do you know there's a rapture? I want to get caught up. Do you know that there's a tribulation period? It's not going to be fun to be there. If you don't know him, you'll be there. You'll be in the tribulation time. You'll be in a time where the abomination, the Antichrist will come, and he will mark the people. I don't want to be there during those days. I want to be with him. I want to be with Jesus. We need him. But we need utterance now. We need boldness now. We need boldness in our day. We need to be sober in spirit. We don't need to be checking out. We don't need to check it out anymore. We're done with that. We need more of Jesus, because I got to be sensitive to his word, because as the days are getting more evil, Ephesians says, make the most of every opportunity. Don't go to bed angry. Why? Because it gives a foothold to the devil. I told that to my kids the other day. I said, don't go to bed with a hardened heart. We can't afford as a family to give a foothold to the devil. We want to be pure and right and holy in this hour. So we wake up with him. And then we get into a place where we begin to ask and pray, and we knock, as I said, and just knock on the door. Knock on, I mean, even if you got a room, just knock on it. It's a prophetic act. Knock on the door. Knock on that door. God, I'm believing for my family. I'm believing for this. I'm believing for that. Just knock on the door, and then get into a place of worship and thanksgiving. There's this moment where you're just listening to the Lord, and you're hearing, you're writing some things down. Perhaps it's a promise. Perhaps it's a picture, a word that he wants to give you. It's oftentimes it's this still small. It's just the simple word that'll get you out the door. And you can, in your car, you could just begin to, God will bring it back to memory. And then it says in a couple passages in Psalm 90 and then also Psalm 5:3, it says, you know what, I in the morning, would you set me apart so that I may walk with you all those days and be ever expectant in what you're going to do. In other words, whatever happened in the quiet time, God's going to bring back so that I'm ever expectant, so that it's delivered by the end of the day. It's almost as if you're mailing something to yourself and you receive the package when you come home. Because it also says it like this in Romans, that do not make any provisions for the flesh. Don't do something in the morning, in the afternoon, that you're actually preparing for to do at night. Make no provision for the flesh, but make provisions in the spirit. And how we do that? We spend time with him. We're sowing in the spirit, we'll reap of the spirit. We sow in the flesh, we reap of the flesh. Don't grow weary in doing good, Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary in doing good, because you'll reap a harvest of righteousness and good and purity. For those engaged couples, just wait a little bit longer, man, in purity, so that you can have a wedding day that is pure and righteous and holy and glorify God, so that people know your good works, Matthew 5:16, so that they glorify their Father in heaven, because you did not grow weary in doing good. But if you did, the grace of God will cover you. And like 1 Corinthians 15 says this, it says that, are you encouraged this morning? So the word of God is powerful, it's active, it's sharper than a living, it's able to divide bone and marrow. It's beautiful, it's amazing, it's good. 1 Corinthians 15 says, I labor above all else. Paul said this, he's like, man, I know my life got rocked by Jesus, and I'm all in, and I labor more than anybody else, not out of duty, not out of performance. I'm ready to go, I'm ready to impart, ready to plant, ready to encourage, ready to strengthen. Why? Because I know it's the grace of God working in me. Do you believe that? This is a season of more of Jesus, but ultimately it's to thrust you into the purposes of God. And we can have that. I know some hearts are beating right now. You probably want to explode in worship right now, and we're about to get into it. We are about to get into it. But I just want to let you know, the last thing here is to share that with others. And I want to bring you in. I felt like one of those mornings I just said, you know, invite your kids in. I was like, okay. So I invited Eli in, and we're sitting there, and we put on some worship music, and I basically took him through this. I wanted to test it on my kids before I tested it on you. No, just kidding. This is something that I've lived this way my whole life. It's time to take others in. We got to be disciple makers. And one of the things I said, hey, let's just be thankful, Eli, and just confess some stuff. He's confessing some things. And then we get to the point where we're just asking, okay, God speaks to you. I just pray for my kids. I pray, Lord, let it not be a spirit of inferior or superior. Give them a spirit of humility. Give them a listening ear. Cultivate that listening ear, God, in the name of Jesus. May Caleb, Eli, Ella, and Judah, may they know you, God. May their spouses know you. May we become one family. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we'll change the world together, stick together as one family, living out the purposes of God. And God, I pray right now that, Lord, that they would hear your voice and listen to your voice and not harden their voice in Jesus' name. And so as I said, what do you hear? Maybe it's a picture. He's like, Dad, I just got this picture. I'm driving this pickup truck, and it's got a bunch of hay on it, and I hit this curb, and as I'm hitting the curb, the hay falls off, and I got so worried. I'm like, oh no, what did I do wrong? I don't know what I did. And he just said, God said to me, he's like, man, you're gonna make mistakes, but my grace and my love cover me. It's okay. And I said, you know what? It's interesting, Eli. All it was hay, and it's going to all be burned up anyways. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to hit the curb. We're not going to deliver the package in time. I mean, things are going to happen when we need the grace of God on our lives. We need his grace. And he begins to cry, and I said, why are you crying, man? He's like, I'm crying because I want Ella to know you. I want Ella to know you. I want Ella to know God. It's the childlike faith that we need, church, again. He's increasing our faith. He wants us to be childlike, come in the room and just ask. So good. And then I just brought Ella in, and Ella was saying, you know, I took her through some of this, and we're just reading the Bible together and all that. And I said, do you feel like God's saying things? She's like, nope, I just want to be with you, Daddy. I was like, I think that was for me. That's all God wants, is to be with his children. It's the revival looks like this. I said it again. That when the fathers turn to their kids and their kids turn to their fathers, it's revival. Latin America needs that. Europe needs it. Asia. What I understand is the Asian culture, they don't hug their kids. So that's why I hug. I break the barrier of awkwardness to hug because they need that, because that's who God's created us to be, is intimate with each other. The enemy has robbed something from the Asian culture, and we want to give that back to them in Jesus' name. The world needs this. And I think with Caleb, he had a prophetic word, which I think was so powerful. He didn't know it was prophetic, at least I don't think so. He just said, hey, look, I'm sorry for teasing Eli. I just don't want to do that. He saw a picture. He's like, Dad, I saw this picture of an arrow. And I believe this is even for the house. I saw a picture of a Nerf gun arrow. God speaks to us what we know. And so there's a Nerf gun arrow. And it had fire on it. And it hit our house. But it was a sign of he said, is the Holy Spirit is wanting to come. And it's the fire of the Holy Spirit and protection. And I believe that's what God's doing, is as he's sending angels with their bows, and he's just flaming arrows at people's hearts even right now, the houses of their hearts. He's flaming arrows. He's coming in with fiery arrows to protect, to be a shield of protection. That fire, actually, for Daniel's friends was a fire of protection. It was a fire of protection. It was a fire of deliverance. And he's bringing, in the New Testament, there was fire on their heads. It was the fire of the Holy Spirit. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit again. We just received that again this morning, the childlike faith and just the fire of the Holy Spirit as we walk with him. Jesus said, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. It is better that I leave so that you can have the Holy Spirit, so you can fellowship with the Trinity while I'm not there, but I'm there. It was the greatest gift he ever gave us, actually. He says, when we ask for the Holy Spirit, he gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So why don't we stand to our feet and just receive that this morning.